Worship team, I might actually call you back up at some point, just if you can just be ready. I feel like we might not be done worshiping today. I don't know if anyone else feels the same way, but all right, how are we all doing? I'm a little bit tired this morning. I had a bit of a late night last night. Where's the young adults who were out? Show us. Yeah, give your raise. There we go. There's a few of us who were out having a bit of fun. We did the Amazing Race Challenge, and we were off driving all around Brisbane last night having a whole lot of fun. And so I'm a little bit tired this morning. I think that means I'm not a young adult anymore. When you're out past 9 o'clock and it's past bedtime, I think maybe I'm not quite a young adult. Adrian and Mel, are you able just to stand for a moment? Adrian and Mel, they look after our young adults ministry. They do an amazing job. And I just feel like, can we just honour them this morning for the work they do? I want to share this morning two different passages. We're going to go to Matthew 6, if you've got your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And then we're going to go to John chapter 13. And I want to have a read through a couple of these passages this morning. And I want to speak on the topic of forsaking fear and worry. Forsaking fear and worry. And, you know, everything that we do, the decisions that we make, the reactions that we have to things all come from a place influenced either by love or by fear. And the Lord actually tells us all through Scripture, there's so many. In fact, it's actually the most common command that the Lord gives us in Scripture is do not fear. Do not fear. Time and time again, the Lord tells us, do not fear. And you know, it's the most common command the Lord gives us because I believe it's the most common tactic that the enemy uses. It's the most common thing that he does to actually separate us from our purpose. You know, it doesn't always separate us from our relationship with God. But what it does is it kind of disconnects us in a way that we kind of can't actually do what we're called to do. It really limits us. And so time and time again, we see the Lord say, do not fear. Do not fear. And so, you know, we want to be aware of what the enemy does. We don't want to focus on the devil, but we want to be aware of the tactics that he uses. And so this morning I want to have a look at a couple of things around how we forsake fear and worry. Why don't we pray? Thank you, Lord. We just thank you that your presence is here with us this morning. And we say, come and have your way. Come and do whatever you want to do in this place. Lord, just come and speak to us this morning. Come and put something in our hearts, deposit something in our hearts today that would change us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew 6, 25. Matthew 6, 25. If you can read along with me, it says, this is why I tell you to never be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? Look at all the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they? So which one of you, by worrying, could add anything to your life? And why would you worry about your clothing? Look at all the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work or toil, and yet not even Solomon in all his splendor was robed in beauty more than one of these. So if God has clothed the meadow with hay, which is here for such a short time and then dried up and burned, won't he provide for you the clothes you need, even though you live with such little faith? So then, forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. We're actually called and we're actually commanded not to worry. We're actually commanded as believers to forsake worry. Jesus says that it's the unbelievers who worry. It's the unbelievers who are worried about, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? And if the unbelievers are the ones who worry, then as believers, we don't. What's the opposite there? As unbelievers, we're filled with peace and trust in the Lord. You know, everything comes from that place of either fear or love, right? And fear is simply is faith in the inferior reality. Fear is faith in the inferior reality. You know, we know that there is a superior reality, the kingdom of God, right? But fear is when we put our trust in what we can see. It's the inferior reality. And fear, what it does is it essentially elevates our situation or the challenge or whatever it is that we're facing. It elevates it to a place where we think it's above God. It elevates it to a place where we feel like, well, God actually can't do anything now with this situation. So as believers, we're called to live a life without worry, without fear. Jesus says, forsake worry. Why? Because your heavenly Father knows everything that you need. We've got a loving Father who knows everything that we need. He cares for us. He so loves us. He protects us. There's nothing we need to fear. Psalms 112 says, they have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. When was the last time you heard some bad news? Can you remember your reaction? Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David's writing here, and you know, and with these verses, and he's saying, you know what? It doesn't actually matter what the circumstance is. It doesn't matter what the situation. Doesn't matter if you know if it's bad news. He says, my God is with me. He's always with me. He's going to protect me no matter what. He doesn't say I'm never going to get bad news. He doesn't say I'm always walking on the mountaintop. He says, even though I'm in the valley, even though I get bad news, even though these challenges come, it doesn't actually matter because the Lord is with me. And so I do not fear. You know, I'm sure that we probably all heard this so many times, right? Do not fear. Do not fear. We've heard it preached. We've looked at this scripture before in Matthew. And you know, it's still a challenge. I find, you know, that this message that I'm sharing today is not because I've got it all figured out. This message, I feel like the Lord was speaking to me, it's as much for me as it is for anyone else. And so I want to actually look at a couple of things in this next passage in John 13. About how we actually go about handling bad news. How do we go about forsaking fear and forsaking worry? You know, how do we respond when we get bad news? What should our reaction be? So if you want to turn to John 13, verse 21, and we'll have a look at this this story. And then I'll share a couple of comments on it. Is this mic a bit echoey? No, it's just me. You can hear me twice. John 13, 21. Just to give you a little bit of context with this scripture. So Jesus is with the disciples, and they're in the upper room, and this is just before Jesus goes to be taken to be crucified, and Jesus has just gone around and washed the disciples' feet. Okay, and Jesus gives this. He shares some news with the disciples, and this news they're kind of shocked, and they're kind of like not sure what to do with this news, and so I want to look at their reaction. I want to look at a couple of things just in this scripture about what we should do. John 13, 21. Then Jesus was moved deeply in his spirit, looking at his disciples, he announced, I tell you the truth, one of you is about to betray me. Eyeing each other, his disciples puzzled over which one of them could do such a thing. The disciple that Jesus dearly loved was at the right of him at the table and was leaning his head on Jesus. Peter motioned to this disciple to ask Jesus who it was that he was referring to. Then the dearly loved disciple leaned into Jesus' chest and whispered, Master, who is it? The one I give this piece of bread to after I've dipped it in the bowl, Jesus replied. Then he dipped the piece of bread into the bowl and handed it to Judas, the son of Simon. And when Judas ate the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus looked at Judas and said, What are you planning to do? Go and do it now. None of those around the table realized what was happening. Some thought that Judas, their trusted treasurer, was being told to go buy what he needed for the Passover celebration, or perhaps to go give something to the poor. So Judas left quickly and went out into the dark night to betray Jesus. There's a couple of interesting things that John puts in his gospel that he writes, and I can remember Pastor Ben was preaching a couple of weeks ago. If you might remember how he was sharing the story where Peter and John had just found out that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and so they run off to the tomb to go see for themselves. And John writes in his gospel that he made it before Peter. Was it four times? Four times John mentions it in his gospel that both of them set out first, but John made it there before Peter. And it's kind of funny, like we kind of think about why do we need to know that? Why did he include that? And there's this other thing that John puts in his gospel that I sort of find a little bit strange, where it's actually the way that he refers to himself. I don't know if you've noticed this. But John refers to himself in the gospel that he writes as the disciple who Jesus dearly loved. He doesn't call himself John. He throughout the gospel that he writes, he calls the other disciples by their names. Even in this passage that we just wrote, he says Peter, Judas. He calls everyone else by their name, but when he refers to himself, he says, the disciple who Jesus dearly loved. And you know, it's not because John thinks Jesus doesn't love the other disciples. It's not because John thinks that Jesus loves him more. But you know, I believe it's that John had an encounter with Jesus that so changed him. This encounter with Jesus where he got this revelation of the love that Jesus had for him, that it actually changed the way he thought about himself. That when he thought about himself, it was, I'm someone who Jesus so dearly loves. And you know, I just feel this morning like if we could actually get that revelation, that understanding that we are someone so dearly loved by Jesus, that when we face something difficult, that when we face bad news or something challenging comes our way, that this revelation of who we are, that we are someone so dearly loved by Jesus, would actually influence the way we respond in that situation. It would be like the fact that we understand that we are so dearly loved by Jesus, that revelation would filter everything in our life into perspective. We are so dearly loved by Jesus. Why don't you say that this morning? I am so dearly loved by Jesus. You know, we know that perfect love casts out all fear. And so if we're looking at how we forsake fear and worry, if we have this understanding that we are so loved by Jesus, the God of heaven is so interested, he's so committed, he's so jealous for our attention and our affection, he so loves and cares for us, that it would change the way we think. And you know, we know he loves us so much. When we read in John 3:16, one of the most common verses, for God so loved the world. He so loved us. And so our understanding's got to, it's almost like a foundation. Our understanding's got to be that he loved us first. His love is unconditional, doesn't change anything, unfailing. You know, if we don't have this foundation of understanding that he loves us, we can sometimes get into this way of thinking that says, have I been good? Have I been doing the right things? And we begin to base his love for us on what we've been doing. We begin to think that the Father's love is based on, you know, if I've been good, if I've done the right things, if I've said the right things. We begin to think things like, I'm sick or I've got this sickness because God wants to teach me a lesson. How many know that's not true? We begin to think, or we begin to become ashamed to pray because we feel like, you know what, if I ask God for something, I don't deserve him. I don't deserve a response. I haven't been good. You know, I haven't read my Bible this week. So, you know, there's no point asking God for something because I feel like he's not going to do it. You know, I haven't been good. How many know that's not true? And so if we don't understand this love, this unchanging, immovable, unconditional, unfailing love that he has for us, if we don't have that as our foundation, then we begin to elevate our problems to be bigger than he is. How many know that nothing's impossible for Jesus? Nothing's impossible for him. He loves us and cares for us so much. You know, we're about to head into the Easter time. And you know, what a great reminder it is when we look at the cross and we see that there is no greater love, no greater love than Jesus. The Lord sent his son to die for us. If we jump back into that story, just for a moment, thinking about, you know, Jesus shares this statement with his disciples and says, one of you is going to betray me. And he shares this news with them. It's like bad news, and we see they're kind of, they're puzzled. They don't know how to respond. They don't know what to do. And, you know, you can imagine that they're all there and there's probably some finger pointing going on and be like, what did you do? Is it you? Is it me? What's going on? There's a bit of commotion. People are starting to talk to each other and trying to figure it out and work it out. One of us is going to betray Jesus. They're probably thinking back to something that they've done. And then we see Peter motion to John. And John's sitting right next to Jesus. He's sitting at the right hand of Jesus at the table, and Peter's obviously further away. And so Peter motions to John. He's like, you know, like, ask Jesus who it is. Find out. The rest of them are, you know, probably talking amongst themselves, trying to work it out, and Peter's just like, let's just go straight to Jesus. Let's go ask him. And we see John lean into Jesus. It says he leans in, he puts his head on his chest and says, and he whispers into Jesus' ear and says, Master, who is it? Then Jesus says, it's the one I'm going to give this bread to. And so he dips the bread and he gives it to Judas. And Judas leaves. And, you know, we see in that story that none of the other disciples actually knew why Judas left. None of the other disciples actually got to hear that conversation that John and Jesus had. There was this almost like this intimate conversation in the middle of all this commotion where Jesus reveals something to John that no one else hears. And so, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what the news, the bad news that you might hear, no matter what the challenges, the circumstances that you face, what I'm trying to say when we look at this here, what I'm encouraging you to do is to lean into Jesus. Lean into Jesus and pray. Lean into Jesus and ask him. When we lean into Jesus, how many know he's got a redemptive solution for every situation? How many know he's got an answer to every problem? No matter what you're facing, lean into Jesus and ask. Sometimes we've just got to get alone with God. Sometimes we've just got to get into that intimate place, that face-to-face place with Jesus and ask. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Lean into Jesus and ask. If you spend time with Jesus and you walk away and you don't feel rested, and you don't feel refreshed, and you don't feel like you've got what you needed, maybe you were spending too much time complaining. maybe it wasn't praying and listening. Because something happens when you spend time with Jesus. Something happens in that intimate place when you lean in and you ask. There's like an exchange. You come with your situation. You come with your challenge, your problem, and you exchange it with Jesus, and he gives you his heart. He gives you his solution. And you walk away refreshed. You know, Peter and John wanted to know the truth. Right? If we imagine in that scenario, in that room, at the table, that the disciples have heard this news that one of them is going to betray Jesus, and there's a bit of a commotion. I imagine there's some finger pointing. Is it you? Is it me? And Peter and John go, let's find out the truth, and they go straight to Jesus. How many know that sometimes there's a difference between the facts and the truth? You know, you might get a report from the doctor that says you've got some kind of sickness. How many know that that's the facts? We don't deny that. It doesn't do us any good if we pretend like it's not true. But how many know that's the facts, but there is a truth that's greater. The truth says that by his stripes you were healed. And so Peter and John, here they are going, you know what, we want the truth. We're going to go to Jesus. We're going straight to Jesus. We're going to lean in and we're going to ask him. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so no matter what you're facing, no matter what the circumstances, if you need to know the way, if you want the truth and you want the life-giving words of Jesus, then get in that intimate place. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter, you know, if you're in the middle of the dinner party, lean into Jesus and ask him. Get in that intimate place. Make sure that we're like John in this story, where we position ourselves close to Jesus. Don't be far away. Spend time with him. Get intimate with him. That you're always right next to him. When something comes up, you lean into Jesus and you ask. I might just ask the team to come up. And if we can do that here again. Let me encourage you, church, with two things this morning. Two things. Let's get that revelation that we are people so dearly loved by Jesus. When you face something challenging, when bad news comes, that revelation of I'm someone so dearly loved would influence your reaction in that situation. We are so dearly loved by Jesus. And then second, let's position ourselves close to Jesus, that we can lean in. We lean in and ask. Why don't we just stand this morning? Take a moment, just close your eyes, just focus your attention on Jesus. If you're in this place today and you feel like you're constantly under attack by the enemy in this area of fear and worry, I feel like this morning the Lord wants to encounter with you. He wants to encounter with you to give you this revelation that you are someone so dearly loved that it would change your perspective. If you're in this place this morning and you feel like you're going through something specific, that I feel like there's maybe a couple of people here this morning who are really going through something challenging, and it's like fear and worry, it's keeping you up at night. There's some kind of situation or circumstance you're in where you're finding it hard to sleep because you've got this fear going on in your life. And I feel like the Lord wants to break that today. And this morning, what I'm going to ask us to do, whether you've got something specific going on that's a challenge for you and you're dealing with that fear, or you feel like you're under constant attack in this area, what I'm going to ask you to do, we're going to begin to worship, and I'm going to ask you to make your way down the front and come and lean into Jesus. Come and get into his presence. John, in this story, John here, he leans his head on the chest of Jesus. It's as close as you can get. Come and lean into Jesus, and I want you to come and ask him. Ask him for the truth. Ask him for his heart in this situation, for his redemptive solution. I feel this morning like there's someone here who's just received some news about a medical condition. And I feel like there's a challenge that you're dealing with, fear in that place. And I feel like this morning the Lord wants to do something in your life. If that's you, make your way down the front as well. Come and lean into Jesus this morning. We're going to begin to worship. If you want to come and lean in, get in his presence, come and ask him this morning, just begin to make your way down the front now. If you're dealing with fear, if there's a specific circumstance in your life, come and bring it to Jesus. Come and exchange it. Come and bring your fear. Come and bring your worries to Jesus this morning and say, Jesus, here it is. Let him exchange that for his heart. I feel there's someone here this morning. There's a fear around your children, and it's an overwhelming fear. If that's you, make your way down the front. Come and bring it to Jesus. There's freedom in this place today. Amen. There's freedom in this place today. Jesus, we come to you today. We come and lean into you this morning. We lean into you this morning, Jesus. We bring our fears. We bring our worries. We bring our circumstances and our situations. Lord, we come and we give it to you. Because you love us so much. Because you care for us so much. And Lord, we thank you that you would take this fear, you would take this worry, you would take this circumstance, exchange it for peace. You would exchange it for joy. You would exchange it for love. Anyone else this morning? Feel free to make your way down. Come and bring whatever it is to Jesus. Come and lean into him this morning. Come and bring it and leave it in this place. Leave it here with him this morning. Lord, I thank you that we would leave changed. Lord, we would not take this thing with us. Whatever it is, Lord, it would stay here at your feet. Jesus' name.